Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to witness the beginning of a new Gregorian year. Both the calendars, whether it is the Hijri calendar, the lunar calendar, or whether it is the solar calendar, the Gregorian calendar, both these calendars are recognized in Islam and Sharia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken in the Quran of both the methods of calculation, whether it is by using the lunar calculation or the solar calculations. Both of these have been mentioned in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken of them. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us the better of the two, which is the calculation by the lunar calendar and the Hijri calendar, which is based on the Hijra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinah to Munawwara. That is, of course, the preferred method of calculation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. And as Muslims, we should familiarize ourselves with the different Islamic months. Today, very often, many of us are aware of the exact date, as far as the Gregorian calendar is concerned, the exact date, the exact month. But you find that many are unaware of the Islamic month and the exact Hijri month that we are passing through at this point in time. As Muslims, that is our preferred mode of calculation, and it is necessary for us to familiarize ourselves with those days and to be aware of the different Islamic months that we are passing through, for many a times we find that there are great significance that are attached to the Islamic months. Now, customarily, we find that the beginning of a new year signifies certain personal aspects related to choices that we are to make. It is generally, customarily, of course, not Islamically, not from an Islamic point of view, it's not an Islamic obligation or an Islamic teaching that this time of the year is a time for reflection, or this time of the year is a time when we are about to now make important decisions related to our lives and so forth, but customarily. Because it is the beginning of a new year, people are about to embark upon new projects. People are about to take certain decisions with regards to their academic careers. People are deciding with regards to the academic institutions that the children will be attended and so forth. We find that generally and customarily, once again, that it is that time of the year when many of us will be mapping out our program and our schedule for the coming year. Hence, it is an important time of the year for us to study a very short yet significant chapter of the Quran. One of the shortest chapters of the Quran is Surah Al-Asr. Al-Asr, many of us are familiar with the surah, many of us have bahated the surah, and the surah Al-Asr means time, and we are witnessing the passing of 1 year. It has been 20 years already since the millennium. 2 decades have passed since the millennium, the advent of the millennium. And the passing of time is something of great significance in the life of a believer. And that is captured, its significance, its importance, and how we should spend our time has been captured beautifully in this very concise and brief surah of the Quran. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said with regards to this chapter, Surah Al-Asr, such a short chapter of the Quran, but such a powerful, profound, and deep message that he says, إِنَّهَا سُورَةٌ لَوْ لَمْ يَنزِلْ إِلَى النَّاسِ إِلَّا هِيَ لَكَفَتْهُمْ. He said it's such a profound surah. And despite its brevity, despite its concise nature, he says it is so profound, such a wonderful message contained within it, that if this was the only chapter of the Quran that was revealed to the Ummah, it would have been sufficient for their success in this world and Akhirah. That is how powerful this chapter is. It comes in a hadith that as-sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum idha altaqaya, when two sahaba would meet, if they had met after some time, and just subhanallah, it speaks of the concern that the sahaba had. And it speaks of, you know, the idea that they had of the existence in this world. They truly understood the purpose and the existence of this world and what life meant to them and what time meant to them. That when two sahaba would come together and they would meet, it comes in the hadith, لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا, they would not part ways. They would not separate from each other. حَتَّى يَقْرَأَ أَحَدُهُمَا عَلَى الْآخَرِ وَالْعَصْرِ إِلَى آخِرِهَا. Until one would recite to the other the entire chapter of Surah Al-Asr, when they would meet. That was their discussion. That was their discussion. When they met, one would recite Surah Al-Asr. They had the normal mundane discussion, but they would not part until one did not recite Surah Al-Asr to the other. Why? To remind each other of the objective of the existence and the purpose of the existence. If you were to ask me what is the theme of Surah Al-Asr, what is the theme, what is the message, Surah Al-Asr basically is your roadmap. It is your roadmap as to how you will attain success in this dunya and how you should behave in this world in order to achieve success, not only in this world, but so that your very existence becomes objective and purposeful. And it is, you know, a mission statement. You have a company, you have an organization, you have an institute. Every company or organization, it has a mission statement. Surah Al-Asr is the mission statement of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us go into the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah by taking an oath. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam, or whenever Allah takes an oath, the importance or the significance of that oath is to highlight the importance of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to convey. Every statement of Allah is important. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys to us through the Quran or through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is significant. But to emphasize the significance and to emphasize the importance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam and he swears by certain creations of his. So Allah takes a qasam. He says, Wal Asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by Al Asr. I swear by Al Asr. Now when we hear Al Asr, what's the first thing that comes to our mind? Many of us are familiar with the word Al Asr because we use it for Salatul Asr. So whenever we hear the word Al Asr, the first thing that comes to your mind is Salatul Asr. But what is meant by Al Asr here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on Al Asr? So there are different views and different opinions. The first opinion is that Allah is in fact taking a qasam on Salatul Asr. When Allah says Wal Asr, Allah is emphasizing the importance of Salatul Asr. Allah says, I take an oath by Salatul Asr. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, he says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, guard your prayers. Guard your prayers. And just to digress, this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the importance of guarding our prayers, observing our prayers, that ayah, you will find that it is situated amongst the many ayat that speak of divorce and that speak of a breakdown in a relationship between husband and wife. In the center of those ayat, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking of divorce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of rulings related to separation between husband and wife. In the center of those ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this ayah, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ, guard your prayers, to tell us that the solution to bring about unity, to bring about harmony, to bring about peace between husband and wife lies in what? In the fulfillment of the most important commandment of Allah. And that is establishing salah. Very so often you find the husband and wife, they are experiencing some difficulty in the marriage. And they will cite this problem and that problem and that problem. And you ask the question, what is the status of salah in the life of the couple? And you will find that there's no salah. Or perhaps there's negligence with regards to salah. So what's the point we discuss X, Y, Z when ABC is not in place? حافظوا على الصلوات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, coming back to the topic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam according to many mufassirin when he says, wal asr. Allah is saying, I take an oath by salat al asr. Elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, guard your prayers, was salat al wusta. And in particular, Allah says, guard the middle prayer. According to majority of the mufassirin, the middle prayer is salat al asr. So why, in particular, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the importance of salat al asr? In the hadith also, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من فاتته صلاة العصر فكأنما وتر أهل وماله. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you miss صلاة العصر, then it is equivalent to losing your entire family and all your wealth. Can you imagine that? What steps and what measures you would take in order to avoid losing a few rands? What measures and what steps we would take in order to avoid losing a member of our family? That is the level of importance you should give to one asr salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you must that one asr salah, then consider it equivalent to having lost all your wealth, your entire company, your entire wealth, all your money, and it's equivalent to losing all your family. Now, why so much importance attached to Salatul Asr? Because ask yourself, what is our situation during that part of the day? It's the busiest part of my day. That is when the mind is distracted, the heart is distracted during that part of the day. It's the end of your working day. It's the end of business. And generally we find at that time that a person has so many distractions and there are so many things that can easily lead him to abandoning his Asr Salah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized the importance of Asr Salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath when he says, wal asri, I swear by the Salatul Asr. Another meaning of Al-Asr is Al-Jil. Jil means an era or a generation. So you have the era of Adam alayhi salam. You had the era and the generation of Nuh alayhi salam. Then of course, you had the golden era, which was the era and generation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the golden era of this ummah. And ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam on a particular era. He says, wal asr, by the era. Which era, which generation is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath on? The era, the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that of the Sahaba. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself referred to his era and the era of the Sahaba as the best era. Khayrun nasi qarni. Every Jum'ah we hear the khatib saying from the minbar, Khayrun nasi qarni. The best people of any era, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is the people of my era. Why does Allah take a qasam? Why does He swear by the era and the generation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform the ummah, to remind the ummah that challenges will come upon this ummah. And this ummah will face hardship. And this ummah will face trials and tribulations. And you need to look at the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how they dealt as a minority. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, we are well aware. I don't have to explain to the congregation what the situation is in different parts of the world. Recently, India and the Muslims of India and the suffering that they have been subjected to in that part of the world. Untold sufferings by the community in that part of the world. And we see the very same thing happening in China. The Uyghur Muslims in China have been subjected to similar types of persecution. The Modi government has decided to adopt and to employ the strategy of the Chinese government. As we speak, they are busy establishing and building detention centers. Detention centers, like the detention centers we have in China as well, where millions of Uyghur Muslims are being detained. Brothers, this is something that affects you and I. This is something that must disturb us. This is something that must force us to wake up in the latter part of the night and cry for these people. Where did we ever expect this to be happening in that region? Muslims are so well established in that part of the world. So well established. The Darul Uloom, the Masajid, the Ulama, the Huffaz, economically, politically, Muslims are so well established in that part of the world. Never did we expect the Muslims in that region, in that part of the world, to be suffering as they are suffering right now. Wal Asr, Allah tells us, I take an oath on the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were a minority in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Kashmiri people are still under lockdown. Months have passed. They said the lockdown will last for a period of 50 days. Months have passed. People do not have access to those individuals in that part of the world. Those individuals have no access to the rest of the world. They have been cut off from the world. And nothing is being done. No one is held accountable for this. There was a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the minority of Makkah al-Mukarramah, as we find the Muslim minorities are suffering in different parts of the world, they were also cut off from Makkah. For 3 long years, they were in lockdown in the valley, in a certain valley in Makkah al-Mukarramah. For 3 long years, they were under lockdown. So Allah tells us that, Wal Asr, I take a qasam on the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They persevered and they believed. And we also believe that this is a process that the ummah will go through until ultimately victory will come to this ummah. Just like how victory came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of Madinatul Munawwara. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah will give you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Soon Allah will give you what you want until you are happy and satisfied. We ask Allah ta'ala to alleviate the sufferings. Wherever the Muslims are suffering, brothers, innocent young children, students attending madrasas are being killed and are being persecuted. And the least we can do is spare a dua. Raise your hand. Make dua. You do not know how your dua will change the condition of the people in that part of the world. It may not change the condition of the entire community, but wallahi, perhaps through one dua, Allah Ta'ala will alleviate the suffering of one child. You don't know, and you don't have to know. You don't have to know who will be the beneficiary of your dua. Raise your dua. Raise your hands. Make that dua. Wallah, Allah has promised us that when you raise your hands, when you make dua, it has an effect, especially when you are making dua for somebody you don't even know, because you're not expecting anything in return from that person. That much we can do. Spare a dua for those people, wherever they may be suffering. Recently we have seen what has taken place in that region of the world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that we should look for inspiration from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went through all of this personally. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered to a greater extent than the people are suffering right now. And let us see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with those people and the manner in which he had sought assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third meaning of Al-Asr. So we spoke of two meanings. The first, Wal-Asri, means Salat Al-Asr. I swear by Asr Salah. The second meaning, Wal-Asr, I swear by the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When does Allah take a qasam and an oath? To highlight the importance of what Allah wishes to convey. Emphasize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to say. The third meaning of Al-Asr is time. And this is, of course, the popular view. That when Allah says, Wal Asri, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam, I am taking an oath on time. The passing and the elapsing of time is so, so significant, brothers. The passing of time and the terminating of time is something that is of utmost importance. Time is the capital of your existence, the capital of your life. Ask a businessman how important that capital is to him, the capital which he invests into his business. If you lose your capital, that's the greatest loss. Ask any businessman, yes, he may lose a profit here, profit there, but it's a loss, but it's not that significant. But if a businessman loses all his capital, that's the greatest loss that anyone can ever incur. Time is the capital of your existence. That is what time is for us as individuals. 1 year has passed, another year has commenced. As I said, 2 decades have already passed since the millennium. Let us reflect over that capital. That capital which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. A wise person invests his capital wisely in order for him to see good returns. Our returns are in akhirah. Allah gives us much of the returns in this dunya, but primarily we will receive the returns and the profits of all the time that we have invested wisely in this dunya and al-akhirah. So, wal asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on time. Every one of us came into this world with an expiry date. Every one of us came in this world with an expiration date. We have come in this world and we know that there is a time that we are going to leave this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to that. That the passing of 1 year, the beginning of a new year, this is something significant. So significant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by it. Wal asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, consider the time as your commodity. Consider the time as the capital of your existence. Therefore, invest the time wisely. Allah goes on to say in the next ayah, innal insana lafi khusr. Now, in Arabic, or whenever an oath is taken, one is you take the oath, and one is al-muqsam alayh. What you are taking the oath for, that follows the oath. Right? So Allah took the oath to emphasize the importance of time, number one. We said to emphasize the importance of Salat al-Asr, and to emphasize the importance of the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innal insana lafi khusr. Allah is taking a qasam for what? What is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a qasam for? Allah says, indeed, al-insan, all of humanity, lafi khusrin, is undoubtedly in a constant state of loss. Now let us analyze this, and it's so beautiful the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained it from a linguistic point of view. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-insan. Al-insan, you have the al in the beginning. This is no ordinary al. In Arabic, we refer to this al as al al-istighraq. It is an all-encompassing al. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all human beings, all of humanity, every single one of you is included in this. Allah says, every one of you is in loss. Think about it. When you grow up, you come into this world, and you grow up, and you age. You are not moving further and further away from your expiration date. You are not moving further and further away from your expiry date. So as you become older, there should be no need to celebrate. Because as you become older, you are moving closer to your expiry date. Innal insan, that's what Allah says, all of humanity is constantly in a state of loss. You are losing time. You are not gaining time. You are losing health. You are losing wealth. You are losing energy. That is what is meant that you are constantly, every breath you are taking, you are losing. You are losing. Because you are moving closer towards your expiry date. Lafi khusr. It's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts this loss. Allah says, indeed, all of humanity is certainly in a state of loss. You know, generally in Arabic, when you wish to attribute a characteristic to an individual, then you use what is called the active participle. The active participle, right? The active participle in Arabic appears on the scale fa'ilun. Fa'ilun. a lesson in Arabic for everyone. Okay? Fa'ilun. So when you want to describe somebody who has sabr, the quality of sabr, you'll say sabirun. Can you see? If anyone has the quality of shukr, what do you say? Shakirun. If anyone has the quality of gratitude and praise, then what do you say? Hamidun. Can you see they all sound like fa'ilun, fa'ilun. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributing the characteristic of loss to insan, He does not say innal insana la khasirun. He didn't say khasirun. It should have been khasirun, right? On the scale fa'ilun. He didn't say that. What did he say? He says innal insan la fi khusr. Fi. What is fi used for? In English, fi translates as in. Fi is used to denote that one thing is contained within another. So you say, huwa fil bayt. He is in the house, meaning he's surrounded by the walls of the house. Huwa fis sayyara. He is in the car. Fi. To show that the structure, he's surrounded by the structure of the vehicle. He is contained within something. To explain the profoundness of the loss and the comprehensiveness of the loss that we are constantly in, Allah says, indeed, without doubt, certainly, man did not say is a loser. Allah says, he is surrounded in loss. Subhanallah. That's why we translate it as what? He is in a constant state of loss. He's not just losing, but he's in a constant state of loss all the time. As you age, as you grow, day after day, you are losing. You are not gaining. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمُنَ الْعَصْرِ. Don't play around with time. Allah has given you time. 1 year has passed, a new year has commenced. Like I said, customarily, it is a time when we reflect over the new year. Number one priority, let me reflect over my relationship with Allah. That should be number one on my list when it comes to mapping out and planning and scheduling my year ahead. What is the situation and the condition of my salah? Allah has given us time. Allah gave us 1 year. Allah has given us a new year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see the end of this year as He has allowed us to witness the beginning of this year. But the important thing for you and I, what are you going to do with this 1 year capital of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you? You plan and you strategize how to use that capital when you start your business, when you start your company. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of consultations. There's a lot of deliberation over how you are going to invest that capital. You don't want to lose a single cent of your capital. Time is even a greater capital. Strategize, plan, consult, deliberate. How am I going to, Allah has given me 1 year more capital. How am I going to wisely use that capital in such a way that I am not losing everything all the time, but through that capital I can gain 1 year more. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue with the tafsir of this beautiful chapter in our next pre-khutbah talk. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب